time this morning. We have Tori Gabriel with us. He is the Extension Program Leader, Fisheries Educator for Ohio Sea Grant and Stone Lab at The Ohio State University. Tori, welcome to the Big Outdoors. With that introduction, we need to inform our listeners exactly what the hell do you do?
Thanks for that, Chip. You know, like everybody else, some days I'm still figuring that out myself. But
you're young. So, you got time.
Yeah. Yeah. To take a step back. So, yeah, part of Ohio State University, we are Ohio Sea Grant. Sea as in the ocean. Obviously, we don't have an ocean, so most of our work happens on Lake Erie. Every state in the country that has a coastline, whether that be saltwater or freshwater, has a Sea Grant program. And we're really all about wise use of our aquatic resources. Big idea, that's what our program focuses on. As part of that program, we have Stone Lab, which is an island out in Put-In Bay, or around Put-In Bay, that we do a lot of education and outreach from. And then we have an extension part of the program that includes myself and five other extension educators that are focused on various topics, again, about wise use of Lake Erie. Some examples are marine debris, coastal resiliency. Some of your listeners may be docking or using clean marinas. We have somebody that oversees that program. And I work specifically with the Lake Erie fisheries. So I work with people like charter captains or youth anglers, sometimes researchers that are out in the field doing things in wetlands, for instance, with the H2 Ohio program that some people may have heard of. So we have a really, really wide net that we cast.
Well, this came about because we met at Fish Ohio, which was the 45th annual some 3 or 4 weeks ago. And, of course, I hadn't been on Lake Erie this year, and that was my first time. Every time I get to Lake Erie, generally once a year, you know, I always find the fishing is actually pretty fabulous, even though, you know, I might be targeting walleye, but I wind up with a boatload of everything else, whether it's catfish or sheephead, or, you know, that are invasive or, you know, just, or perch. So, you know, you look at a lake like that and it's just unbelievable the amount of fish, that lake contains that, you know, you can catch on a regular basis versus maybe any of the other places I've been around the country. It's just, and you know, targeting walleye, well, that's what everybody goes for, or perch. But to, you know, to be able to catch, you know, just a boatload of everything else, I find to be quite fantastic.
Oh, you said it. I mean, it's quite literally unbelievable, right? And it is by far the most productive of the Great Lakes, but definitely as productive, more productive than a lot of our Ohio inland lakes as well. As far as the Great Lakes go, we like to say, and these numbers aren't exact, but it's something like Lake Erie has around 2% of the water in all the Great Lakes, where we have over 50% of the fish in all the Great Lakes. I mean, we are just really chock full of them. And like you said, people love walleye and yellow perch, and for good reason, right? They're fun to catch.
Right.
They taste great. But yeah, I try to emphasize to people those other species that you mentioned as well. A lot of people up here are so spoiled on walleye and yellow perch that they catch a sheephead or a freshwater drum, and they get upset with it. But man, those are big fish, and they're fun to catch.
Yeah,
and you don't have to eat everything you bring into your boat, right? And same with the channel catfish. There are some monster channel catfish swimming around Lake Erie right now, and a lot of them. So. What? Yeah, it's a blast, and it's especially great for kids. If you can get a nice day and get some kids out on the lake, and I mean, there's no other place where you're going to routinely tie into 3, 4, or 5 pound fish like channel cats and sheephead, just by using a night crawler and a casting harness.
Yeah, and it changes with the season, and you know, August seems to be a great catfish month and sheephead. But you know, I know those people go off the deep end when they don't get their walleye or their perch, and you know, quite frankly, I don't understand it because to me, other meat's great, but it's all about what bends the rod. And what I don't know of anywhere else you can go in this country short of saltwater, certain saltwater areas, you know, where you can just, you know, it's action from nonstop from start to finish.
Yeah, it's just an absolutely amazing resource.
I think somebody needs to really crank up some catfish charters, to tell you the truth. But we got to hit them. They do? I didn't know that. Anyway, Tori, you sit tight. We got to hit a break. The Big Outdoors News Radio 700 WLW Cincinnati. Back in a moment.
A Richter and Phillips Jewelers 700 WLW player profile.
How about that, sports fans?
Richter and Phillips Jewelers, voted Cincinnati's best place to buy your engagement ring.
I love it!
Now, Mo Egger has a name you need to know.
The offseason story for the Bengals was their overhaul of the offensive line, where Cincinnati will have four different starters from last season. A major acquisition from Tampa Bay, Alex Kappa has a Super Bowl ring that he won two seasons ago with the Buccaneers, helping to protect the legendary Tom Brady. Kappa will play right guard in Cincinnati, where not only will he be asked to reduce the number of hits on Joe Burrow, but he brings the town a Pro Football Focus grade as a run blocker that equals his grade as a pass protector. And he brings toughness, having once attempted to play a playoff game 2 years ago despite breaking his ankle. Get to know right guard Alex Kappa.
Mo has more. Be listening for the next player profile on 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
You wash your hands and brush your teeth, but what about your nose? How do you clean your nose? With Navage. Navage pulls saline in one nostril around the back of life.
News Radio 700 WLW.
Hey, we're back. The Big Outdoors News Radio 700 WLW Cincinnati. Stick around. It's a hell of a day around here. Let's see. Gary Jeff Walker comes up at the bottom of the hour after the news. He'll take you to 9. Michael K. Allen and the rants thereof will take you on till noon. Ken Brew. And hell, that's half your day. 8 hours at the big one. News Radio 700 WLW Cincinnati. Tori Gabriel's with us. He is the fisheries educator, extension program leader for Ohio Sea Grant under the Ohio State University. Tori, welcome back. And, is the reason that we have such a fishery with Lake Erie is because of the fact that it's the shallowest lake, but you have a huge forage base feeding all these fish. You know, we didn't even talk about largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, northern pike, the occasional muskie, and was sturgeon not stocked not too long ago?
Yeah. So there's a whole lot to unpack there. But yeah, I guess the big reason we have all these fish that we talked about in the first segment is the productivity, which means, yes, we're shallower than all the other Great Lakes. We're warmer. We're southernmost. So all that leads to a whole lot of algae. And algae gets a bad rap. Harmful algal blooms are obviously a problem, but that's only one kind of algae. And so good algae is everywhere, and we have tons of that, and that's the bottom of the food chain. So when you have a lot of the good algae, which we do, and you get lots of those little critters called zooplankton, which means you get lots of forage fish, and with that comes lots of big predator fish. And the other species you named, smallmouth, actually my favorite to catch, so I'm kind of partial to them. But recently, largemouth have gone kind of crazy in Lake Erie, and people fish for largemouth more than they fish for smallmouth in Lake Erie these days. Part of that's from more weed beds popping up, which everybody knows is better habitat for largemouth, but they're also easier to catch. So a lot of the bays and the harbors around the shorelines of Lake Erie, where it has those kind of wetland areas almost, are really great for largemouth.
And how is I understood that there's been, you know, some reasonable catches of northern pike that I guess have come with the water being cleaner because of the zebra mussel invasive. And I guess the zebra mussel really didn't have the tremendously negative impact on the lake that everybody thought it would, more so the water intakes and things like that.
Yeah, I'd kind of push back on that a little bit.
Okay,
obviously they didn't devastate the fishery like some people had predicted, but they did change it, and they didn't clean up the lake. They definitely cleared it up. So that algae we just talked about, the good stuff, is what those zebra mussels eat. So they're actually filtering out a big part of the food web. And not just filtering it out, but they're redistributing it. So instead of all that good algae and productivity being floating around in the middle of the water column, now it's being sucked down to the bottom. So it just kind of changed things. They did clear it up, though, because as they filter that algae out, sunlight can reach farther down. And because of that, we get more of those weed beds we talked about that are good habitat for largemouth, but also, as you mentioned, really important habitat for things like northern pike and muskies, which actually use those areas to spawn a lot. And I mean, our destruction of wetlands forever ago is really a big reason why we saw a crash in those northern pike and muskie populations.
And has there been a resurgence of some note?
They're around. I don't know that I'd say there's been a resurgence of note, but they're definitely around, and you can catch them. If you know where you're going and you get into it and you really target them, especially, again, weedy bays and areas, you can definitely catch them. I've hooked some nice northern pike out of some good bays, and I've actually accidentally, while I was fishing for smallmouth, caught some small muskies
sure.
in a couple of the bays, which indicates probably that they are spawning. So that's good. That's probably going to be a more long-term thing, and hopefully we do see those populations increase.
So what is eating the zebra mussel? Is it is there a predator? And how about the goby?
Yep, well, that's your own answer there.
Okay.
So zebra mussels and gobies came from the same place, got here through ballast water most likely, which is water on big transoceanic vessels that came mm-hmm. from other freshwater ports. So zebra mussels got here first. They went crazy. Actually, we have a different mussel now called a quagga mussel. It's very closely related.
Yeah.
That's kind of taken over. But the gobies eat those. And then the freshwater drum or the sheephead eat the mussels too. So there's a lot of stuff that eats them. But
there's a lot of stuff happening. You know, and what I really appreciate is how you very nicely correct me. Okay? And I do appreciate that. All right. Hey, Tori Gabriel, you sit tight. Everybody else, hang in there. Grab a cup of coffee. We'll be back with more of the Big Outdoors News Radio 700 WLW Cincinnati.
Did you know that if you miss any part of our shows, you can catch the podcast of that show on the iHeartRadio app? Did you also know that Canada eats more macaroni and cheese than any other nation? We need to fix that. So listen to our podcast, have some mac and cheese, and let's beat those Canadians. Everybody, USA, USA, US, yeah!
If you need a plumber, call Nick Scope Plumbing now.
News Radio 700 WLW Cincinnati, the home of the Cincinnati Reds and best Bengals coverage. And we have a game Sunday. Yay. And we're going to kick the Steelers' butts, Tori Gabriel. So if you're a fan, sit tight. You hold on to your shorts, okay? All right. Tori is with the Ohio Sea Grant Fisheries Educator Extension Program Leader, which is under the Ohio State University. What do you got going on right now that, you know, we could lean on a little bit? But, you know, besides the fact we need to get people up there to fish for everything, not just walleye, not just perch, not just smallmouth, because for kids, I mean, it's fantastic. It's just, yeah. I think it's off the charts, you know. Kids get bored in 10 minutes if nothing happens, you know.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Got to give them a lot to cheer about.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I would, if anybody is thinking about coming up and fishing Lake Erie, I'd say just do it. If you don't have your own boat or you don't want to trailer it all the way up there, we have a huge charter industry that's got over 800 charter fishing guides scattered all across the lake. So look into that. They're professional anglers. They know what they're doing. So that's a great resource to work with. We're actually working with them on creating a voluntary certification program. So that's not on the ground yet, but we're going to be able to, we're working with the Division of Wildlife and kind of help. The idea is to get the captain's information about things like harmful algal blooms and fisheries management and a lot of the invasive species stuff we're talking about here today. So that not only are they going to be professional fishermen and show you how and where and why to catch fish, but they're also going to be able to inform you about Lake Erie in really in-depth ways. So pretty excited about that one. Another thing that I would say when you're talking about getting fish into or getting kids into fishing, that's a huge thing for me. You know, most of us and probably most of your listeners got into this stuff because they were growing up doing it as kids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Getting kids hands-on at an early age and really getting them to appreciate the resources is absolutely important to preserving the kinds of things we like to do, right? And so as part of that, I was actually fortunate. One of the coolest things I've gotten to do was work with Ohio 4-H. So if anybody's in 4-H or thinking about it, there are two fishing project books. So just, again, gets kids hands-on and really into fishing. I met a few kids that took it, and they seemed to enjoy it. So check into that, Ohio 4-H Fishing Project books. And then I guess another thing I'd like to talk about is we talked a little bit about aquatic invasive species. We actually, again, worked with the Division of Wildlife and another colleague at Ohio State Extension and wrote the Ohio Field Guide to Aquatic Invasive Species. So any of you folks that are out there in the field, and especially if you're moving boats or equipment from body of water to body of water, you could accidentally be spreading these invasive species like zebra mussels that we talked about earlier. So we always say clean, drain, dry your equipment. If you got the internet, look up the Ohio Field Guide to Aquatic Invasive Species and check it out. It tells you a whole list of species that we have and where they're at in Ohio and how you can stop the spread of them. So really cool resource there.
Is that laid out with a lot of color photograph plates and things like that?
Absolutely. Yep. We got pictures of the organisms. We got pictures of where they're at in Ohio, where they're at throughout the country, and also whether or not you should report them. So some of them are already all over the state, unfortunately, so we don't really need to report those because we know they're everywhere. But there are others that are only in a couple of spots, and so it's really important to not be spreading those from one part of the state to the other.
So, and, you know, I go back to the catfish because, you know, I caught, like, at Fish Ohio, I was the catfish guy and the sheephead guy. I didn't put a walleye in the boat, but then I didn't have the best spot in the boat. Okay. So, you know, my line is under the boat the whole time, you know, just bouncing off the bottom. But you know, quite frankly, the catfishing up there is just, I think it's off the charts, and August is a great month for that. And I would imagine that probably kicks off in July too.
Yeah, actually in June. So a lot of times they're up on the rocks spawning. So I get to do a Lake Erie sport fishing course most years. It's actually a phys ed course through Ohio State, taught at Stone Lab. It's a week long. So if anybody's looking for a phys ed credit, check into that. But that usually happens early June, and a lot of times the channel cats are getting up on those spawning reefs. And so you're catching 8, 9, 10-pound catfish in 8 or 10 feet of water, just kind of constantly. It's a blast.
It's a fight. It's a fight. Now, we did not have a harmful algae bloom this summer, did we?
We do, and it's happening now.
I missed that.
When we were out in the Governor's Day, it wasn't as obvious as usual.
Okay.
So it's lower than most years, but it is there, unfortunately.
So how best to get a hold of Ohio Sea Grant?
Probably the easiest way is to look us up online, Ohio Sea Grant. Just Google that, and you'll be able to find any of us you want to talk to.
Well, Tori Gabriel, we appreciate your time this morning. Definitely keep me posted. Get me on that press list. Let me know what's happening up your way, and we'll have you back.
Sounds great, Chip. Thanks for having me.
All right, with that, hit a break. We'll be back with more of the Big Outdoors News Radio 700 WLW Cincinnati.
Make your home's outdoors a relaxing place to entertain. It's easy when you call Creatures.
And we're back. The Big Outdoors News Radio 700 WLW Cincinnati. Heading to the bottom of the hour. And all that hullabaloo about the Christmas lights at the Hamilton County Park District, Sharon Woods. Give me a break, for crying out loud, you know? That's not the mission of the Hamilton County Park District. Besides, let them go to Forest Fair Mall. Everybody can drive through Forest Fair Mall, okay? It's a big cavern, for crying out loud. You know, we got Christmas lights at Coney. All right, I'm off of that. We have EHT, epizootic hemorrhagic fever, discovered in the deer population, confirmed positive in numerous counties like in southwest Ohio, up into central Ohio, and that's about 13 counties. So you're looking for those zombie deer. That's what they've got. It's usually always fatal. And, of course, we got fall hunting all over the place across the region with our dove season open, early goose season, and rail, snipe, and gallinule. You know what? I've never seen a gallinule. I don't even know what the hell it is, but I think it's a shorebird. And that opened up like last weekend. And, of course, squirrel hunting, and then our archery season across the region for deer is upon us as well. So with that, I'm going to send you off about your day. Hang out with Gary Jeff after the news. With that, the Big Outdoors News Radio 700 WLW Cincinnati. Be safe in the woods, safe in the water, and safe in that tree stand.
What you don't know about your home can cost you. Access to in-depth data is gold when buying or selling your home. With Ownly.com, you get the information the pros